Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome travelers to the shores of Sobriety Beach, Rum Radio, and Big Book Sponsorship. This is Joseph G. welcoming you. Tonight, I'd like if someone out there would like to call in. If you have any questions or you'd like to discuss sponsorship or whatever might be connected, I think everything's connected to sponsorship in one form or another, but we're open to whatever discussion you have on your mind, if we could be of help. Hopefully, we can learn from each other. When I first got into the program, I thought I had all the answers, especially in the first year or two. Now, after 14 and a half years, I know so much less now than I did before. But I try to be a help. I have no degrees, no credentials, no letters after my name or certificates of completion. But I have spent the night at a Holiday Inn Express. The guest call-in number is 949-534-0621. Again, it's 949-534-0621. I'm going to be discussing tonight how to find a sponsor and how to find a sponsee. When I first came into the rooms, it was told to me, and I think this is a general understanding, that when we go into a meeting to get a sponsor that has something that you want. Now, I had lost a lot of money, so basically I wanted a sponsor that had a 560 Mercedes SL at the time. But it was the Aquarius Group in Dallas. So it was a lot of musicians, so there wasn't too many Mercedes out in the parking lot. The point is, I really didn't know what I wanted when I came in. I know I was in a lot of pain when I finally decided that there might have been a solution here, and I wanted to get out of that pain. I listened when I was ready, you know, and then because I knew I had gone for a while and had not connected him to the fellowship. So I really wasn't listening too much. There's one fellow that I eventually was going to ask. I think that now the way I understand it, and sometimes it works, you go into a meeting and someone will say something and it'll resonate with you and you go, yeah, that's the guy. That's the one I want. And then you go up and you gird up your loins and, you know, get your nerve together, and you go up to the lady or to the guy, or if you're a man, and ask, you know, I'm looking for a sponsor. Can you be my sponsor? And hopefully it's a yes. Sometimes you get a no. You kind of reject it about that kind of surprise. And if it is a yes, hopefully they know what they're doing, but there's no clue. It's like a dating service. You go up there and you have this emotional attachment. They said something that connected with you. Now, he might have just had a really good AA talk. He might have been there for years doing the talking. But as far as solid recovery or understanding how to work the big book, written material, that kind of format, might be really lacking, but as a new person, you really don't know any of that. You're just hoping that intuitive thought, which is not really even available to you at this point because you're just so out there, was working. And of course, if the fellow that maybe you really wanted would have worked best for you didn't speak in the meeting, how would you know? Would you find them by sense of smell? Would you have to go to so many meetings? Eventually, you're going to find somebody, or eventually you're going to be so complacent by going to the meetings, you keep putting that off. So what I've found to be very productive for me, now sometimes it works that way, and a lot of people will say, I found my sponsor just like that. We connected. It was a great experience, and he's still my sponsor. She's still my sponsor 3,000 years later. And it's worked out wonderful. I have tremendous sobriety, and I work my program exactly the way I was taught. That's great. And those situations do happen. There's a spiritual connection sometimes that just do happen. How often? Nobody knows. I mean, they do happen because you hear them in the meetings. That's how they happen. My experience is my first sponsor, I felt a spiritual connection with him, and we started working the steps right away. He read to me the first 164 pages of the Big Book, and he had me read that, and then it was like, read the first 164 pages, I think it was 64 pages at a time, take two aspirins, call me in the morning. As soon as I read that, we'd get together, and then he would read it to me, and that's how we started progressing through the steps, which is often done by a lot of sponsors. I stalled. I can't blame my first sponsor because I stalled on step four. I was comfortable in the meetings. I had a good AA rap. I could do my auditioning in the co-ed groups, but I wasn't working my program. I just didn't. But I was okay. Business was good. I was making money. I was dating. Hey. You know, things are coming back my way. I'm not drinking. I'm staying sober. Is that not enough? So when life in life's terms got to be too hard for me from certain tragedies I've had in my life, I had to start working the steps again. I had to really dig in. And it was years that had gone by before I did that. I had white-knuckle sobriety to some degree, but I was okay. My sponsor would say, you're not going to get the promises until you work the steps. Yeah. I'm okay. I'm staying sober, which I thought was, you know, the pinnacle of recovery was just to stay sober. What I found is that there's so much more to it than that, but you really don't know that until you actually work the steps. In the 12 and 12, it says, until we've spoken with complete candor to someone and they've done the same with us, we still didn't belong. And that step five was the answer. It was the beginning of true kinship between God and man. So until not only do we have to do a fifth step, we have to hear a fifth step before we belong. Otherwise, we're just circling the field waiting to run out of spiritual gasoline. And it does. And then it's a crash and burn again. And you know, oh, he went out. Oh, what a surprise. So the way I've come to the agreement and, you know, read books and read several books on it and some understandings from, you know, Hamilton Beasley and Hamilton B. He did the 12-step sponsorship, how it works, which is the format of a lot of this information. Joe McHugh's, the steps we took, back to basics, drop the rock, a new pair of glasses. There's a lot of really good Bill W.'s writings from the heart, Language of the Heart, Dick B.'s, That Amazing Grace. There's a lot of good history and understanding that amplifies the information in the Big Book. Doesn't replace it, just amplifies it, makes it clear, gives you direction. So how do I find a sponsee? I wait until he gets his beginner's chip. Now, I'm prepared when I'm looking for a sponsee. I prepare myself. I carry Clancy I's seven questions. And I have them with me, printed out, ready to go. So the fella gets his beginner's chip. And what I do is when we circle up, I get next to him. You know, I walk around or whatever I do and try to get as close to him as I can or right next to him. So after we break, I turn around to him and I ask him, have you had enough? If he asks, what do you mean? I just say it a little louder. Have you had enough? And he'll go, yes. Or I'll have to say, have you had enough pain? Have you had enough humiliation? Have you had enough? Yes. Are you willing to go to any length to achieve sobriety? Yes or no? Yes. If I get the two affirmatives, I turn around and ask them, tell them that you can get well from this disease of mind, body, and spirit, but there's certain things you have to do. And the first thing I need you to do is answer Clancy's 7 questions. I need you to answer these, and I need them back tomorrow. Here's my phone number. I expect your call. Other than getting his first name, that's the extent of the conversation. If he's in enough pain and he's serious, you'll get them back tomorrow. If he's not ready, or, you know, maybe he's ready for someone else. He's not ready for me, and that's okay. I get it back tomorrow. If I don't get it back, that's usually he's not ready yet, and that's fine. You know, he needs more meetings or he needs a different sponsor. If I do get him back, no, we're ready to go. I wrote this, how to find a sponsee. I can go to Skid Row, that I already know. And like Bob and Bill, there's always the hospital. Now I hear tell they come in under their own steam, washed but not clean, and desperate for simple instruction. Next time this golden opportunity walks through the doors, I will elbow and shove and help them find their seat so that I can continue to grow and make my own recovery complete. A lot of these folks are coming right through the doors. They're coming into the doors. They're coming into the rooms. I can't imagine the old-timers in the early days of AA, if a new guy came into the room, they would have been fighting each other to get to this guy. I mean, they didn't have to go to the hospital. They didn't have to pay his hospital bill. They didn't have to deal with the dirty clothes and give him a place to stay and driving him to the meetings. You know, they didn't have to do any of that. The guy was already there, washed but not clean. There he is. He's even got a car, maybe an internet connection. You know, let's get him. And I think a lot of folks kind of miss that. The opportunity when they walk through the door. Not all, some. You know, my experience is most miss that opportunity. I had raised my hands in many meetings, and put my names on the beginner's packets for years. And I've talked to people 7 years, they've done that and never got a sponsee. And you really need to work with the other alcoholic to keep your program fresh. There's just no two ways about it. You know, until you've worked the fifth step with someone, you're still a visitor. And how are you going to grow spiritually by not being of service, at least to your fellow man? Now, of course, some folks go into the third legacy and GSR, and they do that, and they don't feel capable or confident being a sponsor, so that's how they give back. But the big book in the 12 and 12 is pretty explicit about that. We're supposed to sponsor. That's essential. That's like working the steps of being a sponsor to me. Now, everybody has their own little shtick, but that's the way I look at it. So I get my Clancy 7 questions back, and we go over them, okay? Set the appointment as soon as he calls you up. Okay, make the appointment as soon as you can. You go, you meet with him. We go over the questions, and then by going over, it's like a mini fourth step. It doesn't replace the fourth step, but it's like a little mini fourth step. It gives you an idea where they're at. The questions are, in looking back over your life, what memories are still painful, guilty, dirty? 2, in what ways do you consider yourself an inadequate person? 3, why do you resent, who do you resent, and why? Be specific. 4, what do you conceive to be your defects of character as you see them today? 5, what is the nature of the ongoing problems you have with people close to you in human relations? What seems to always happen when you have these things that blow up? 6, in what way do you believe that AA can help you with any of these problems? And in what way do you believe that AA can begin to change things? Now, of course, you could use any 12-step fellowship instead of AA, if it's OA or NA, CA, on and on, anonymous. There's even a, you know, there's hundreds of anonymous groups. There's even, you know, Debtors Anonymous, Gamblers Anonymous, Overeaters Anonymous. There's even a Paranoids Anonymous. The only problem is nobody will tell you where they hold the meetings. Once I get this back, we get right into the program, step one. I give them their first assignment is to make sure that they have the correct material. They need a big book, a 12 and 12, and a notepad, because we're going to have writing assignments. I explain to them that we're going to be going through the steps in 30 to 45 days. That's our goal. Now, some people say, well, that's the fast track. I'm not ready for that. That's a little too quick. And, you know, we need to languish a little bit. It's not written in stone, the 30 to 45 days. I think it's a good kickstart. It gets them into action right away. And I'll tell you the other good part about saying that, it puts the steps into a time frame of performance. We're going to have to do so much work each week. That's one. But like I said, it's not written in stone. If we could take a pill and recover, we would. I would. If we could find an easier, softer way, I would. Now, if I'm going to tell you as your sponsor, we're going to get through in 30 to 45 days to come through the other side, and you're going to feel a lot better. Things are going to start happening in your life. Wow, that's pretty good. I'm going to get rid of this pain. I'm going to get through the work in 30 to 45 days. What if I told you, well, we're going to take a year? Wow, that doesn't sound that good, does it? Well, let's see. Should I do 30 days or should I do a year? No, I want to be out of the pain in 30 days. I don't want to wait a year to be out of pain. How long can you tread water, Noah? So you put it in the sponsee's mind that we're going to get to the other side in a timely and thorough manner. Oh, okay, cool. Let's get started. Now, of course, you're out of town. They're out of town. You're not available. He's not available. Sickness, illness, car accidents, you name it, divorces, da-da. So it usually will drag out a little longer. But the nice thing about it is if you can get them to the fifth step in the spiritual experience, most of the time they're so enthusiastic about getting to the rest of it that they're the ones who start to push. That's when you know you're really getting to them, that they're really getting it. Now, these are just suggestions, but this is what I find to be very productive. Let's get going. I also suggest to get Hamilton B's book, 12-Step Sponsorship, How It Works. I use that as a template of recovery. And because of that, I find that this book makes it easier on me and easier on them. It's all readings out of the big book in the 12 and 12 and answers that come from that reading. And then, of course, the other assignments would be reading certain chapters in the big book. But this kind of hones it in because it's specific. We're closing in on it so we can get timely and remain thorough. So now we have our materials now. And then the other thing that I ask them, okay, and I still believe it's the case, 90 meetings in 90 days. I need that commitment. Of course, these are all suggestions. Got to remember that. That's the key. We don't force. There's no laws. There's no rules. These are suggestions on our experience, strength, and hope, what works the best. If the sponsee doesn't want to go along with it, well, he doesn't want to go along with it. If he's balking, my suggestion for other sponsors is give him his head and let him run his course. If you're a hard nose, you know, you're a hard nose sponsor, if that's what the person needs, well, that's great. That's not my personality. I'm into the, you know, agency, free will group that these are suggestions. If they don't want to do it, what I do is that I stop putting a lot of energy into the guy. He's going to have to come to me when he's ready. If he, you know, I'll call him a couple times and then that's it. And then I put my attention and my energy in someone who wants to do the work. Because I'm willing to do the work as long as they're available. I'm not going to push the guy to sobriety. That's not my job. I can't play God. It's hard enough playing sponsor. If they want it, they'll get it. If they don't want it, the push doesn't matter. I want them to call me every day for 90 days. That's the suggestion. It develops an intimacy. We get to start getting to know each other on an intimate basis. Scott Peck said, intimacy is the ability to share one's reality without fear of judgment or change. Intimacy develops slowly and commitment more gradually still. So we're building an understanding. Your reality and his reality are two different realities most of the time. So we're trying to get that going. I'm not judging him. I'm not trying to change him. I'm just giving him my experience, strength, and hope. 90 meetings, 90 days. Oh, call me every day. And for the next 30 days, I got this from a fellow named Dudley. And really good suggestion. Page 63 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous is the third step prayer. I ask him to get a beginner's packet. In the beginner's packet, I ask him to have men write their names. Now, if your group doesn't do a beginner's packet, what you can do is before the meeting, have them go up to the chairperson and ask them to pass a paper around the men that would be available for telephone calls. So now he has a list of names. This is going to be his lifeline. Explain that to him. And for the next 30 days, every day, call someone different on the list, when possible, and ask permission to recite the third step prayer to him. And I never give them anything, I never give a sponsee anything without giving the reason why I'm doing it. These are adults. They need to know, and then they make the decision whether they want to do that or not. The reason I have you do that is because I want you to get used to picking up the 500-pound telephone and asking for help. It's difficult for most of us, if not all of us, to ask for help. We've always been very self-involved, self-sufficient. We'd like to think that. So now to pick up that phone and ask for help, it's really quite the chore. So we pick up that phone and we call someone up and say, look, my sponsor, or I'd like to recite the third step prayer to you. Is that okay? Okay. So they recite the third step prayer every day. And what it accomplishes also is that it connects you up with your home group. You get to know their name. They get to know your name. It also encapsulates what we're going to accomplish by working the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous to be a maximum service. It also, and this might even be one of the most important things, the person he's calling might have been thinking about picking up his first drink of alcohol. And you called, and he's not going to do that. So he's already into service. So we do that the first 90 days. I also explain to them the law of opposition. Nothing grows without opposition. I don't know if you've heard that. If you lift weight, you go to the gym, the opposition you're going to run into is gravity. As you're lifting the heavy weights, gravity is pushing down and it's strengthening muscle and building bone. That's opposition. As we grow in the 12 steps, we will face spiritual opposition. As we try to free ourselves from the cocoon of addiction, a butterfly trying to get out of its chrysalis or its cocoon will struggle to open up that chrysalis. The struggle in and of itself builds its wings up where it could fly off majestically. If you open the cocoon pulled out the butterfly, it would drop to the ground, not able to fly, and die. That struggle is working the 12 steps. This is our spiritual struggle. And what will happen is, in your spiritual opposition, a bottle of booze long since hid will seem to miraculously materialize. A drug long since forgotten will be found in an inside coat pocket. The opposite sex with your favorite addiction in tow will make themselves known. These things and more will occur when you're most susceptible. During periods of restlessness, irritability and discontent, physical and mental emotional exhaustion, and when we're hungry, angry, lonely, and tired. And with that temptation, a way to escape has been made. Get on your knees and ask God to remove the craving. Call your sponsor or other program members for support and get to a meeting. Be forthright and let the folks know what you're going through so we can circle up and keep you in our prayers. And lest I forget, seek out someone you can help and be grateful for the ability to act and not to be acted upon. I also suggest that they don't make any major changes in the first year. Try to avoid romantic entanglements. Nothing so much will distract you from the hard work of recovery than romance. It just does. Romance is easier. I'm in love. There's two of us. I'm good. I'm twice as strong as I was before. Sponsor is sort of a teacher, a mentor, the older brother or sister you never had, a trusted friend, a confidant, unless you forget you're a lifeline to new and sober life. Although I would tell you this, you might have a lot of friends, but you only have one sponsor. As soon as we get all that understood, now we're ready for step one. That's the first meeting. I give them the assignment. The reading assignments, step one is critical. I explained that that's the only step that has to be done with perfection. There's no wiggle room in step one. The other 11 steps are solution-oriented. But the first step is the only step that that mentions the addictive substance and the problem. So I tell my sponsees when they do get to talk, oh, and that was the other thing, I suggest no talking in the meetings until they work a fifth step. Now, we're going to go through the steps, you know, in a fairly rapid pace. That doesn't mean, you know, you're never going to talk. But right now, it's not because you can't talk to the solution, which you really don't have, so you can't really talk to it. You can talk to the problem. And since only one step of the 12 talks about the problem, let's live in the solution. And let's not live in the problem. We live in the solution. So now after you've worked step five, not only can you direct your conversation to the solution, you can also now you're also available to be a temporary sponsor. Wow, that's pretty fast. Step five, all sponsorship is temporary. It's either temporary for a day or temporary for a lifetime or anywhere in between. The important thing is, let's get started. All right, so that's how to find a sponsee. And of course, now there's all the other abilities. If you really want a sponsee, you go to the halfway houses. They're always looking for sponsors. Salvation Army, three-quarter houses, some of the rehabs. Now, it's a bigger chore when you're doing that. In the hospitals, Skid Row is still there. That hasn't gone away. I'll tell you this, which is kind of a surprise to most folks, is that AA, according to the GSO, there was 2 million, counting cats, in 1981. January of 2010, 2,100,000. The world population has grown by a full one-third. I believe a lot of the problem that we flatlined and lost ground is that we don't take a stronger active role in the sponsorship models. We lose a lot of folks languishing in the room without direction. But that's my two cents. So this is why we put Rum Radio together, to get that hopefully get that ball back on the road, and it keeps me sober. You got to remember that's the quintessential. But I'm trying to get back to be maximum service to God and my fellows. The call-in number, if anybody would like to chat about this, is 949-534-0621. Again, 949-534-0621. Well, I remember, we're also going to be heard on WNAH Nashville. We'll be on the airways at 9 o'clock Saturday night. If you missed this show and you want to get it, hear it again, that'll be WNA. They also have, if you go on your computer, they also have a internet feed, so you can listen. To WNEH on their internet radio feed, and this program will still be at 9 o'clock, both on the airways and on the internet feed. All right, and so I think that's enough about how to find the sponsee. I think that gives you some ideas. What I'd like to talk about now is how to find a sponsor. I alluded to it to some degree about connecting up on a spiritual basis. Somebody has what you want, or what I find, what I suggest, I mean, because that's not where we're at right now. Most folks don't go out and get their sponsees. That's the way it was in the beginning. If you know AA history, Bill went and got Bob. Ebby went and got Bill. Bill and Bob went to Bill D, the third member. Dr. Bob, I believe, had 2 or 3 days sober when they went to Bill D at the hospital and got the third member of AA. So they were very proactive. Once you worked the 6 steps of the Oxford group, you went out and looked for your own prospect. That was sort of the mark of it. You got your prospect. And you'd meet him at the hospital. You'd go to the hospital, Skid Row, usually the hospitals, because that's where they found it to be very productive. And Dr. Bob was a doctor, so that kind of fit. And you would find someone you would talk to, Chapter 7, get the confidence of another alcoholic, just like there's no other way to do it. We have a common experience that we can relate to that no one else can. And once you get the confidence and the fellow was looking for a way out and he was ready to jump in, before he could go to a meeting, he had to do the surrender. The surrender was you got down on your knees at the hospital and you prayed that you acknowledged God and your character defects. Basically, you did a couple – did the first 2 steps, if not the first 3 steps, right there on your knees. If you didn't do it at the hospital, you would do it at the Williams home or at the Oxford, upstairs in the Oxford group, before you were allowed into the meeting. So you had to do steps before you went to the meeting. And then the rest of the steps, the restitution steps, came in with a few days after that, and then immediately you went out and got your own prospect, which is a sales term. That's how it used to work. And it was very productive. They had like a 90% stick rate, 75 to 90%. So I wrote this, how to find a sponsor. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. I need a sponsor for I'm ready to go. Manny, Mo, or Jack. I guess Mo. I've had too many and I don't know Jack. Choosing a sponsor is like choosing a best friend. Sometimes it just happens and sometimes it's just planned. There's usually an attraction of some kind. They said something in a meeting that you connected with, a smile, a firm handshake. They owned AT&T. Like I said, all sponsorship is temporary, either for a day or for a lifetime or anywhere in between. The interim there is an interim sponsorship sometimes, and it helps, you know, the commitment. So when you tell a new sponsee that it's a temporary sponsor, it relieves the pressure of commitment. Oh, it's temporary. So I can change socks. I can change this guy if it doesn't work. I'm not buying into the whole program right now. So it's psychological. Yeah, I could be your temporary sponsor. You can continue to look for a full-time sponsor. In other words, we're feeling each other out to see if this is going to work. Once you've gotten that, that happens, there's a couple things. I have some guidelines for choosing a primary sponsor or a sponsor. The first thing I tell a sponsor is, okay, well, when you get a temporary sponsor, you get your Captain Midnight decoder ring. You get to know all the secret handshakes. You get to learn the jargon, someone who tells you where the meetings are and which way the wind blows. And so you can feel more of a part of instead of a part from. Because you come into the rooms and we forget how alien that is to some of us. Never been there before. We don't know any of this stuff, none of it. We take it for granted because we've heard it so many times and it's ingrained in our psyche. When the new guy comes in, he knows nothing. All he knows is he's in pain. He really doesn't think that this is going to work anyway, but he doesn't know where else to go. That's why it's the last house on the block. Groucho Marx used to say, I wouldn't join any club. I refuse to join any club that would have me as a member. There's other ways you can do it. You can ask your secretary or chairperson at the meeting if there's a list of temporary sponsors. And if anyone, they can mention that you're looking for a temporary sponsor and who you are, and then someone can grab you after the meeting. My suggestion, if you're new, don't not leave the meeting without a temporary sponsor. At least the phone numbers to potential temporary sponsors. Why I say that is you might hear something or you really don't know. Get a couple phone numbers, people that you think might work. Now you have the numbers. You have hopefully a beginner's packet if it's a group that does that. You want somebody that has what we want. Okay, so he's got something you want, but you're really not quite sure. Primarily, you want somebody who has long-term sobriety and that has works through the big book, lives in the solution. All sobriety is not created equal, and length of sobriety is by no means a guarantee of its quality. In choosing a sponsor, pick someone who lives in the solution and not in the problem. Find someone who applies the steps in their lives each day, who handles life competently with expectation, and has a positive outlook on life. A sponsor can only offer us what they already have. The last thing you need is an old addictive thinking to guide us. Even if the addict is clean and sober, they are not in recovery. He walks the talk. Some of the best shares I've heard in meetings were from those who eventually went back out into the world of addiction. They knew the pat phrases and had the lingo down. Their behavior did not match their lofty platitudes. I could not hear them, for their body language was too loud. Are they into service? Do they work the steps? Is love and tolerance their code? Are they into action? Action and more action. The 12-step program is a program of action. We are saved by grace after all that we can do. Not after all that we can talk. Not after all that we can think. Not even after all that we can pray. Action and more action is the magic words for faith without works is dead. They have a sponsor. That's critical. Some people disagree. This is sort of like critical mass. They be working a program if they don't have a sponsor. They can't. There may be time when they need to consult as to the proper direction and application in your recovery program because it becomes necessary. The person is your grand sponsor, and this ensures that he's working his steps. And it's not although it's the grand sponsor, it's not necessary to send them a card on Grand Sponsors Day, but it's nice to know that they're there. The sponsor also emphasizes working the steps. If you're not working the steps, you might be sober, but you're not in recovery. Meetings can keep you sober, but if you're not working the steps, you're not in recovery. And it's just a matter of time. The steps are recovery. Choose a sponsor who focuses on getting you the steps in a timely, a thorough manner. A sponsor will direct all reading and writing assignments to the big book on the 12 and 12. There's some question the programs to the timing. Blind Dave in Austin takes his sponsees through the steps in 8 days and then holds a workshop for all the sponsees once a month. JP in Houston claims to do it in one sitting. I'm tired just thinking about that one. Dan S. from a club in New Jersey told me that they require a year of meetings before you're allowed to work the steps. Some of my home group in Houston uses for month, and then some have no stated time goal and just go along with the flow. I suggest 30 to 45 days, which requires time-sensitive assignments. It's just a goal, not written in stone. While the pain is still fresh and the motivation is still acute, I have been successful in this approach as it gets the sponsee in the trenches as a sponsor working intensely with another alcoholic that much sooner. Bill Wilson had 5 months sober when he worked with Dr. Bob. You remember that pain is a fuel. It'll help us on our journey. That's the great motivator. Wears life like a loose garment. The Teflon Don has got nothing on my sponsor. The art of living in acceptance, accepting their role in the world, no great highs, no great lows, steady as she goes. Stop fighting everything and everybody a long time ago. Having a new employer seeks to be of maximum service, interested in what he can pack into the stream of life, does the next right thing and doesn't buy into the outcome of anything. Seems to quickly recover from life on life's term, easy to laugh and slow to anger. Lives life like a loose garment. Lives by the code of love and tolerance, and is easy to be around. Is available for telephone calls and meetings. My high profile sponsors touring Europe, and my program has been put on pause. That all sponsors are equally available for sponsee telephone calls and for meetings. Travel schedules, work schedules, family responsibilities, socials, and personal preferences influence how often contact can occur between sponsors and their sponsees. Sponsorship works best when our sponsors' frequency of availability meets our needs for frequency of contact. For that reason, availability is a factor in choosing a sponsor. The only way to determine whether the match will be a good one is to discuss it ahead of time. Has worked more steps than we have. Has been on step one since the beginning of time. Lives in the meetings and knows all their lines. That would be a big no. A sponsor must have worked the steps that are going to be help us work. AA is grounded on experience, not in theory. If our sponsors not personally work the steps, they can lead us to it, but they can't lead us through it. So we should choose a sponsor who's worked more steps than we have, or the same number if we both have worked all 12. I believe that potential sponsors should find a sponsor who's worked at least the first 5. The number allows the sponsee to grow and ensure that their sponsor has completed the difficult fourth step and has examined his or her character defects with another person. If we get ahead of our sponsor working the steps, we need to find another sponsor. Some people disagree. They believe that step 9 or step 12 is the critical jumping off point. If you get 15 alcoholics in a room, you're going to get 20 opinions. Step 12 is having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. So the spiritual awakening comes before 12. But 12 asks us to start working with the other alcoholic. So it's whatever. But I feel that step 5 is good. Most of my sponsees to date, although I suggest they do it, most of them don't feel confident. But let me tell you, half the folks don't feel confident in being a sponsor. 20% of the people are doing 80% of the work. When you don't want to do something, any excuse will do. The spiritual aspect of the program. Religion is for people who don't want to go to hell. Spirituality is for people who have already been there. Since the 12 steps make up a spiritual program, and since many people have difficulty with our spiritual aspect, it's important to know where our potential sponsors stand on this critical issue. Our sponsor can only share their experience, strength, and hope with us. Therefore, only those who have a spiritual program can share it. Can you take a suggestion? Ask a sponsor to what degree or she emphasizes the spiritual aspect of the program. 2, are they willing to work closely with you in developing your own spirituality? An atheist says there is no God and lives like there is one. An agnostic said there might be a God and lives like there isn't. If you're an atheist or an agnostic who is open to believing in a power greater than yourself, choose a sponsor who will work with you on that spiritual aspect of the program. Otherwise, you will do better with an atheist or an agnostic sponsor. Gender, boys to the right, girls to the left. This isn't about romance. This is about life and death. The sponsor-sponsor relationship is a very intimate one, exposing one's innermost self, and the consequential sense of vulnerability can be misconstrued and easily turned into a romantic fantasy where both parties become excessively or inappropriately intimate or exclusive, resulting in grave regrets and dire consequences. Generally, the same-sex sponsors also to identify, is easier to identify with. In the case of gay men or lesbians, some same-sex sponsorship precautions need to be taken to avoid sexual entanglements. An interview for less or more. All I know is that I need to get started and I need a sponsor. So you want to make sure spirituality, recovery, the big book, ethics, confidentiality, mutual honesty, working the steps, meeting attendance, sponsor availability, frequency of contact, when and where to call, and sponsor replacement. Now, some people are not available, and they're going to tell you no. So we all feel rejection. It's a frightening prospect. But it's only getting up courage to ask someone to sponsor us only to have the person say no. When we're new to recovery, we tend to think such a rejection is about us. It's usually not. There are many reasons why a potential sponsor might reject our request to be sponsored, none of which has anything to do with us. Some of these reasons are the person is currently sponsoring as many people as they can handle. A sponsor who can take on too many sponsees does each of them as well as himself herself a disservice. I could speak to that. I had 7 sponsees one time, and it was too much. I wasn't effective as much as I could have been, and it was driving me nuts. Now I usually suggest 2 or 3 for me. That's a good balancing act, no more than that. And the reason why a good sponsor is usually in demand is because there's not a lot of sponsors who know what they're doing out there or is even willing to do it. So people jump in, they shoot from the hip, and people die. Now, of course, you're saying, well, you're playing God if you think you're going to get somebody sober. You can't. You're playing God if you think you can keep somebody sober. You can't. But you can be the best you can be and get them through the steps. If you can get them through the steps, you'll ruin their drinking career. Even if they go back out, if they've gone through the steps, now they have a choice. Before, they don't have the choice. The more 12-step AA you can get into them, the more you've ruined their drinking careers. They're never going to drink again with impunity. There's nothing, the newcomer's life's blood to AA, as the old-timer's the backbone. But relapse is the soul, for there's nothing more tormented than a head full of AA and a belly full of booze. Sponsorship edifies both the giver and the receiver. It's a gift and a privilege and helps ensure a happy, joyous, and free life. If a potential sponsor says no, it's important to move and find someone else. While the rejection might be painful, at least we tried, and we learned something from the experience. The next time we will know more about the process, and we will have something else to share with our sponsees someday. Well, let's see. I'll give you the number again, but we've got about 10 minutes to go. We have 949-534-0621. And we're also going to be heard on WNAH Nashville. You could go to WNAH.com Saturday night at 9 o'clock, and it'll be all over the air, and they have an internet feed, so you'll be able to hear that there. We're talking about the atheist and the agnostic. There was an atheist, that reminds me, there was an atheist who lived a good life. You know, atheists, some of the best Christians I ever met were atheists. They lived life on a higher plane. They were honest and forthright, and they always did the next right thing because it always made life easier for them. And there's this one atheist, and his hobby was fishing in exotic lakes all over the world. And one late afternoon, on one such lake, the Loch Ness Monster came up from the depths and threatened to destroy the atheist. In a moment of panic, he looked up to the skies and yelled, "Lord, Lord, please save me." The heavens opened up, and the Lord was heard to say, "I thought you didn't believe in me." And the atheist said, "Lord, 2 minutes ago, I didn't believe in the Loch Ness Monster either." And that's sort of like my recovery, too. I had to come to certain agreements and understandings of how this thing works. We're supposed to grow spiritually. This is a spiritual program. Some people have a hard time with that. "Well, I'm spiritual. I'm not religious." If you heard that once, you'll hear it 1,000 times. Religion has gotten a bad rap. We do things religiously all the time. Our meetings are religiously done in the sense that we start our meetings with some of us, and depending on here in town, it's the Serenity Prayer. "God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change and the wisdom to change the things I can." It's also an invocation. We invite the spirit into our meetings. At the end of the meeting, well, during the meeting, it's all, no matter what the topic spin is in the meeting, they're gratitude meetings. The first thing out of anybody's mouth in recovery is how grateful they are. They're grateful to have found the room. They're grateful to have found the ability to get sober. Having this gift, some people call it grace, some people call it fate, some people they don't know, but they know that they got something. If they're willing to do the work, they have something really special, really profound. So it's all gratitude. And what I found about gratitude is an attitude of gratitude is a prayer unto God. It's in... there's a scripture that goes to pray continuously. And, of course, in the program, we're asked to pray first thing in the morning upon awakening. And any time we're disturbed during the day, to pray for the right thought or action and to see where we were wrong. And at night, to thank your higher power or God for keeping you sober another day, you know. And so we pray through the whole day, so continuously. But, you know, to sit, get on your knees and pray continuously would sound like, well, that how am I going to get anything done here? And it tells you, it's just to keep in your heart the Psalms, which are the songs of David, and religious songs, that's positive, uplifting songs, and in thanksgiving. So an attitude of gratitude is a prayer unto God. And then we close the meeting, and here we do the Lord's Prayer. Other people do it different way, but with the Lord's Prayer, and the last prayer is a benediction. Thank God for that. So we have an invocation, we have gratitude, and we have a benediction. Wow! So the whole meeting becomes a spiritual experience. You're going to get your spiritual bump, and it's really a heady thing. People go to meetings all the time because they're looking for that spiritual enlivenment. And it's tremendously funny sometimes, and some sadness. And, you know, we share like a family would share. Now, a lot of us wouldn't mix, you know, we're people that normally wouldn't mix socially. But we're like people in an ocean liner from steerage to captain's table. We all have a common purpose to help one another. So The problem with the meetings is that you're going to get your spiritual bump, and then you got to live life. And then you come back and get your bump and live life. And bump life. What's not happening is that people aren't working the steps. They're not actively engaged in working the steps. They're actively engaged in going to meetings. Now, the meetings will keep you sober. They had done for me for years. The problem is I was sober, but I was not in recovery. I was living in the meetings. I was doing 2-3 meetings sometimes and, you know, 4 or 5 meetings a week and, you know, and the audition and you date and, you know, it's a social fellowship interaction. So that's where sponsorship really comes in. What I found is that a lot of people come in, or some come in, I can only speak from my own experience, they want it so bad, they're in so much pain, that it doesn't really matter that much how the sponsor is. If you really want it bad enough, you can get sober in a bar. If you're really in enough pain and you really want it bad enough. So you had a sponsor, but you wanted it so bad, and the sponsor, you really don't know what your sponsor did or didn't do to help get you sober, what he did. Okay, so now it's your turn, all right? You got long-term sobriety, and you've worked your steps, and now it's your turn to be a sponsor. Well, I really don't know. What's a sponsor supposed to do? I haven't got a clue. So I go through that. And on the Rum Radio website, we engage in what a sponsor does. And sometimes it's just as important what a sponsor doesn't do. A sponsor does not take responsibility for someone who goes out. We don't. It's not our fault. We do the best we can, only give them our experience, strength, and hope. If they didn't want it, or they weren't able to take simple instruction, they were not ready yet. They weren't in enough pain. That pain is a fuel, but they wanted to go back for whatever reason. They hadn't gotten to the point where they were willing to do the work. And then resting on our laurels, that's a big deal. You know, okay, we've done this, we've gone so far, I've got long-term sobriety, and I'm going to just hang out on the meetings, and people calling me as a sage or a guru in AA, and, you know, I have the acclaim of men in my local watering hole, my little pond there, and I'm one of the bullfrogs, and, you know, good enough for me. You know, I get the acclaim, and I'm good. Oh, what happened to Jack? He had so many years. Ah, Jack went out. He failed to expand his spiritual experience. What does that mean? It means that AA is spiritual kindergarten. Bill said it. I've been saying it for years. I didn't even know he said it. And I could see that. We come in and we have to drink milk. This is just the beginning of it. The rest of it comes as we grow, as we become maximum service to God and our fellows. As we grow spiritually, we're supposed to grow in effectiveness. That's what the program really is about to me. It's about being an effective sponsor, by being an effective citizen, by being an effective husband. I'm not a husband now, but I used to be a couple times. An effective father, an effective grandfather. These are the things that really count. You know, in AA, to get a life. Bill said, we don't go to AA, we don't make AA our life, we go to AA to get a life. I miss that. Most of my life is centered around recovery in AA, but that's where I'm at right now. So I hope this was a help. If you have missed any of this, or if you want to hear again, I think we're going to be doing a regular show, one show a week for the time being, Monday. It's only be the Monday or Wednesday, but I think Monday at 8 o'clock will be a good time. I think we're going to do a once-a-week show, and as the audience builds up, then we will consider doing more shows. But I think right now that would be good. So thank you for anyone who was listening. If I was talking to myself, I learned a lot. Sometimes the most important thing we'll hear in a meeting is what's gingerly falling out of our own lips, reinforcing our own recovery. When we share in a meeting, we participate in our own recovery. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you on the radio, rumradio.org.